The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Ger Gilroy with me now from Off the Ball. Ger, League of Ireland. Finally, we have reached the mountaintop.
This is it. This is the do or die final day. Shamrock Rovers are actually favourites, even though it's not in their hands.
Shamrock Rovers are playing Watford.
Shelburne obviously have to go to Derry and beat Derry. Now, Derry last week obviously could still have been in contention had they won, but they didn't against St. Pat's, and so they're out. They only have the cup final to look forward to. And we still don't know just how strong a team is going to be named. And even if the team is named very strong, are they like mad keen to win and risk injury ahead of the cup final, which is going to rescue their season? Or do they go hell for leather to try and smash Shelburne's dreams and go, well, we're going to be a dog in a manger here and ruin your lives the way our lives have been ruined recently.
Mm.
And Shamrock Rovers catapult
so
to great.
So Shells are 2 points ahead. So, but they have a better goal difference, Rovers, isn't it? So if it's a draw in the Brandywell, then
it's not enough for Shells.
Yeah. Shamrock Rovers will win.
Assuming Rovers win, by the way.
Yeah. Well, Waterford could spoil the fun for everyone.
Unlikely, but it's not beyond the bounds of possibility. That,
so, the bookies have Rovers, though, as favourites now.
Yeah.
To win. What do you think will happen?
I think Rovers will win. I think that Derry City are a really good side, and Shell's form hasn't been good enough for you to confidently predict that they're going to go to Derry and win this evening.
Yeah.
Now, it is football. It is the last day of the season. Weird things will happen. There'll be a bit of pressure on Rovers. Like, totally unremarked upon, if Rovers win tonight, it's 5 in a row, which is a remarkable achievement.
Yeah.
But it's one of those rare 5 in a row things where there's no pressure on them to do it on the final day of the season. Like, they should be the ones going, we're resting with history. The Dubs against Kerry, when they were going for 5 in a row, didn't play really well at all and had a man sent off and should have lost the first game and then obviously come out and win the second game relatively easily. And No, that was the 5 in a row. And so, but that was the big talk all year, the drive for five. And it just has, because Rovers have come from so far behind, it's almost the perfect way to do it.
Yes.
You get written off. You become
none of the pressure, you've had none of the talk about the kind of becoming one of the great teams of history. That hasn't been kind of mentioned almost at all.
They managed to do so badly that the narrative was killed off. And now it's like, what a great comeback it would be, even though they are the team with the most resources and the best squad. So, in a way, they've somehow managed to turn themselves into plucky underdogs, be favourites, and be on the verge of glory at the same time. Quite a feat.
Ah, listen, it's great for League of Ireland. There's such interest in it, and it's come down to such fine margins. One would suspect, kind of psychology being what it is, if Shells get a nice early lead, you could see, like, you know, it's hard to imagine, you know, again, it sprung to mind as you were describing kind of the last day of the season and that kind of people throwing themselves at the goal almost. It's hard to imagine Derry playing like that in the closing stages of a game when they have nothing to play for.
It is. However, they'll be totally relaxed as well. It's like, well, we can try stuff. We can have pot shots. We can make the extra run.
Yeah.
The other alternative is, of course, that Derry mix their team and allow some players the opportunity to try and win a place in the cup final.
Oh yeah, okay. So then they would be putting
glory,
in maximum effort.
Yeah. And in terms of narrative, if you were running a league, this is exactly what you'd want.
This is what
the returning superstar who nobody thought was ever going to come back to the league comes back to the league and decides, yeah, I do want to be a manager, and actually I'm really good at it, and brings all this attention. The former Ireland manager in the background, having suddenly turned St. Pat's into something, and the powers, the most storied franchise in the league, the ones who are trying to create history, like. It's as good as it's going to get in sports terms for narrative.
Will we talk about, would they be the most storied franchise in the Premier League, Manchester United?
Oh yeah, Liverpool would obviously claim they are, but in Premier League history, obviously, it's
Premier League.
And Man United is just, they would always claim to be slightly bigger. They've got the reflected glory of the Busby Babes and everything that happened at Munich in terms of their, so they consider themselves to be the biggest, most important club.
They do.
And so therefore we must all bow down before them. Mm. And look, it's a really interesting appointment, a 39-year-old self-confident, swaggering manager from Portugal who will transform the communications that the club have with their players, with their fans, with the media, which increasingly seems to be important. Like, you seem to know how to handle the media to be able to get away with all the pressure that comes from being one of the managers of these super clubs. If you're bad at it, it seems to have an impact. Maybe maybe if you were bad at it but a really good manager. There haven't been too many of those around in recent years. Everybody who has been a good manager seems to understand that getting the media on side is really important.
Yeah.
Ten Hag wasn't really able to do that.
No. Klopp was brilliant. They loved, the media loved him. But yeah, then he was a great manager.
Yeah, so that's the thing. I wonder...
Pep is a different character, but again, they like him.
They do.
Because he's an interesting character.
And also has been incredibly successful from the very start, but is a brilliant communicator and obviously came to power having been someone who the media already liked.
Yeah.
He's been kind of courting that. Like, Xabi Alonso seems quite smooth and charismatic, and he's the next of this tier of young super managers who are about to break out into global superstardom. So we'll see. The cliche of the house always winning is a cliche because it is true.
Mm-hmm.
Manchester United are very much the house. They have all the money that they want to spend. There is some talk that they're going to have to rein themselves in with profit and sustainability, but we'll see exactly what that means, because their ability to generate revenue globally is among the top 10 in the world, and that should be enough for them to get back to Champions League. And when you get back to Champions League and you're able to buy Champions League quality players, you should be competing for the Premier League, particularly because they will still have a great academy and the ability to attract some of the best young talent in the world. So somebody who comes in, gets them playing together, weeds out some of the cancers in the dressing room and gets the fans on side, and all of a sudden you're thinking they should at least be competitive in the Premier League next season.
So that's a new manager in Old Trafford. No new head coach yet in Munster. Rog ruled himself out on OTBAM.
Yeah, this morning. I don't think anybody really thought that it was going to be realistic that he would leave La Rochelle at the moment, considering he doesn't feel like he's got his work there finished. But he made the point specifically that he has a contract to 2027 and he believes in contracts, and unless he gets fired, he's going to see out his contract. So that was the official spoken, I'm not going to take this job.
Yeah.
I'm not available for selection for this job at the moment. And then he also spoke about international test rugby being the next thing that he wants to test himself at. And we've spoken to him before in the show when the England job was up, and he was like, yeah, I would be interested in the England job. Like the England job, the New Zealand job, the France job, the Ireland job, they're the best jobs in world rugby. Of course you'd be interested in them.
Yeah.
So now I suspect England might not hire him. I suspect France might not hire him. I suspect New Zealand might not hire him purely from nationality.
Beyond the emotional ties, Munster's not, like, I hate to say it, but it's not an exciting prospect if you're kind of one of the great coaches in world rugby, is it?
What if you're the person who turns around their fortunes? Bear in mind that the thing that separates elite sports people, you know this better than, they have, it's kind of madness, right?
Yeah.
That was just the little bit of the genes that you missed was the madness.
Mm.
Otherwise, you could have made it too.
That's true. It's the only thing I was missing was the psychological side.
I do think there's something in that, though, that like there's a, I believe I can do something even though all the evidence suggests I can't, and then they actually do it. Like, O'Gara's talent was for outworking everybody, as well as obviously having a giant rugby brain. But him and O'Connell, like, they had a work ethic practicing and practicing and practicing and practicing. And that is the thing that got them to a level where they suddenly believe anything is possible. So if there's another Ronan O'Gara out there who looks at Munster and goes, I see the problems they have, I'm the one to fix that.
Yeah. He'd have to live in Limerick.
What's wrong with that?
Well, he's from Cork.
So there's nothing wrong with living in Limerick except if you're from Cork.
Yeah, I think that if you were to move home from La Rochelle, beautiful part of the world,
Ile de Ré,
just absolutely gorgeous down there, back to Munster, to wet and dreary Munster, that you'd at least have to move home. You'd at least have to just, you know, that would be the thing that would pull you back. And Limerick's not home for him.
I think that
may as well be somewhere else.
An underrated aspect in all this that actually, I presume you've been moving the family to Cork and then staying in Limerick a few days ago.
Yeah, and it's sorry, people, crack. And we were talking about this during the ad break as well. Like when Rog played for Munster, it was the split camp. So Munster has Limerick has never been his base of operations.
The Cork lads lived in Cork, trained in Cork, moved up to Limerick for a day or 2 days a week, and sometimes the Limerick lads would come down. And everybody at the time, I remember this being the narrative, it was holding them back.
They would have won 3 Heineken Cups.
Maybe. But
instead of just the 2. How many have they won since?
That's a good question.
Sure, listen, thank you very much.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.